And not until recent years did I understand that law, from which I am led to believe that those who quoted it did not understand it. The golden rule means, substantially, to do unto others as you would wish them to do unto you if your positions were reversed. But why? What is the real reason for this kindly consideration of others? The real reason is this. There is an eternal law through the operation of which we reap that which we sow. When you select the rule of conduct by which you guide yourself in your transactions with others, you will be fair and just, very likely, if you know that you are setting into motion, by that selection, a power that will run its course for weal and woe in the lives of others, returning finally to help or to hinder you according to its nature. Whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. It is your privilege to deal unjustly with others, but if you understand the law upon which the golden rule is based, you will know that your unjust dealings will come home to roost. If you fully understand the principles described in Lesson 11 on accurate thought, it will be quite easy for you to understand the law upon which the golden rule is based. You cannot pervert or change the course of this law, but you can adapt yourself to its nature and thereby use it as an irresistible power that will carry you to heights of achievements which could not be attained without its aid. This law does not stop by merely flinging back upon you your acts of injustice and unkindness toward others. It goes further than this, much further, and returns to you the results of every thought that you release. Therefore, not alone is it advisable to do unto others as you wish them to do unto you, but to avail yourself fully of the benefits of this great universal law, you must think of others as you wish them to think of you. The law upon which the golden rule is based begins affecting you either for good or evil the moment you release a thought. It has amounted almost to a worldwide tragedy that people have not generally understood this law. Despite the simplicity of the law, it is practically all there is to be learned that is of enduring value to man, for it is the medium through which we become the masters of our own destiny. Understand this law, and you will understand all that the Bible has to unfold to you. For the Bible presents one unbroken chain of evidence in support of the fact that man is the maker of his own destiny, and that his thoughts and acts are the tools with which he does the making. During ages of less enlightenment and tolerance than that of the present, some of the greatest thinkers the world has ever produced have paid with their lives for daring to uncover this universal law so that it might be understood by all. In the light of the past history of the world, it is an encouraging bit of evidence in support of the fact that men are gradually throwing off the veil of ignorance and intolerance to note that I stand in no danger of bodily harm for writing that which would have cost me my life a few centuries ago. While this course deals with the highest laws of the universe which man is capable of interpreting, the aim, nevertheless, has been to show how these laws may be used in the practical affairs of life. With this object of practical application in mind, let us now proceed to analyze the effect of the Golden Rule through the following incident. The power of prayer. "No," said the lawyer, "I shan't press your claim against that man. You can get someone else to take care of the case, or you can withdraw it, just as you please. Think there isn't any money in it?" "There probably would be some little money in it, but it would come from the sale of the little house that the man occupies and calls his home. But I don't want to meddle with the matter anyhow." "Gotten frightened of it, eh?" "Not at all. I suppose likely the fellow begged hard to be let off." "Well, yes, he did."
"And you caved in, likely?"
"Yes."
"What in creation did you do?"
"I believe I shed a few tears."
"And the old fellow begged you hard, you say?"
"No, I didn't say so. He didn't speak a word to me."
"Well, may I respectfully inquire whom he did address in your hearing?"
"God Almighty."
"Ah, he took to praying, did he?"
"Not for my benefit in the least. You see, I found the little house easily enough and knocked on the outer door, which stood ajar, but nobody heard me. So I stepped into the little hall and saw through the crack of a door a cozy sitting room. And there on the bed, with her silver head high on the pillows, was an old lady who looked for all the world just like my mother did the last time I ever saw her on earth. Well, I was on the point of knocking when she said, 'Come, father, now begin. I'm all ready.' And down on his knees by her side went an old white-haired man, still older than his wife, I should judge, and I couldn't have knocked then for the life of me. Well, he began. First, he reminded God they were